to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the NXT Podcast. I am your host. My name is Zachary Smith. As always, the host of your NXT shows here on the WWE Unofficial Podcast family. What a show we have for you here today. This is the new look NXT here. And, you know, for all the fears we had about it, not altogether that different from an episode of NXT. Some improvement, some things that are weird. Like I talked about last week, seems like Triple H, Shawn Michaels are going to be kind of running things day to day. And the Bruce Pritchard, Vince McMahon thing is kind of just for the higher level decisions. And that's probably going to be bad at some point, but it isn't bad yet. We certainly have a more interesting show to talk about than we did last week, so I'll take that. As always, before we get started, you can find me on Twitter. I am at ZachNXT. That's at ZachNXT. I'm also the host of another podcast called Random Wrestling. I take a random wrestling show. They're usually real bad, and you listen to me suffer through them for your entertainment. New episode will be coming out this week. May have a special guest, so stay tuned for that. Before we get started, we usually talk about what's going on in the news, and really the only thing worth talking about is that Raw was kind of a hugely packed show. I haven't watched Raw in I don't know how long, but Big E is your new WWE champion. He cashed in on Bobby Lashley. WWE pretended that they were putting out a super show for them because of football, when in fact they were doing it because AEW's right up on them heels. So they had Randy Orton and Bobby Lashley for the WWE title, and then Big E, who announced it well beforehand on Twitter, came out, cashed in his briefcase, and is the new WWE champion. Now, first off, love Big E. This is a great decision. Love that Kofi and Xavier Woods came out to celebrate with him. I sincerely love that Kofi got his moment at WrestleMania and Big E got his moment here, and it was against Bobby Lashley. In the history of WWE, you're not going to find a lot of black dude versus black dude for the WWE title, and while this was just a cash-in, I think it's still really cool that in one night you saw Bobby Lashley as WWE champion, Big E as WWE champion, and Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston out there celebrating it. I think that's really cool. I know they decide who wins the title, but that almost makes it mean more that they decided to go with Big E here. It's been a long time coming. The only thing that I can hope for is that they take Big E more seriously than they did Kofi. I think they will, just because Big E's kind of he's a big guy, and it seems like they believe in Big E more than they believed in Kofi, but we will see. This was definitely hot-shotted. Hot-shot is not necessarily a bad thing. It's just putting all your best stuff right now. It's just how you follow it up that's going to determine whether or not this is good. With Kofi, the title went against Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. Absolutely fantastic. And then he got, like, Dolph Ziggler and Randy Orton to feud with, and his reign wasn't the most exciting. And then on the first SmackDown on Fox, Brock Lesnar beat him in 6 seconds, and Kofi went back to being the same as he ever was. So they're putting the title on Big E, and now I hope they let him run with the title. You'll be able to tell pretty quick whether he's a Drew McIntyre or whether he's The Miz. You can tell how they use their champions, whether they actually believe in them or whether it's just for storyline purposes. So just huge congratulations to Big E, man. I've been waiting for this moment for a long time with him. I hope they let him be a little bit more serious and not goofy all of the time, because he's going to be WWE champion now. I'd like to see a little bit of his old NXT personality come out when he had the five count and he was a beast. I would love to see that. So, a lot of stuff going on in the world of wrestling. AEW has Bryan Danielson in full gear to face Kenny Omega. CM Punk is back. He's feuding with Team Taz. Adam Cole is there, one of my favorite wrestlers. My favorite wrestler, Kevin Owens, is probably going to go there just the second he can, and he absolutely should. But forget all that. You know who cares about that? I have a new NXT champion, and more importantly, I have a wedding. And, you know, whatever Mimi says with her good television show she watches, I have a wedding. So we're going to talk about it. This is NXT 2.0. It being called 2.0 is very funny. And I don't know if that's on purpose because of 2.0. Whether it's on purpose or not, it's very funny that it's called 2.0. So because Samoa Joe was injured, I don't know if it was in the match with Karrion Kross for the NXT title or what happened, but he put out a short video basically saying that he cares about the integrity of the title and it deserves to be defended. So he relinquished that title and basically said, whoever wins it, beware because I'm coming back, blah, blah, blah. So Samoa Joe is no longer your NXT champion, a little bit of a snake bit championship recently. So now our Kyle O'Reilly, Tommaso Ciampa, Pete Dunne, LA Knight, Fatal 4-Way matches now for the NXT title because we can't have nice things. Promo for the main event. First is Ciampa. He says the second chapter to the greatest love story, Ciampa and Goldie 2.0. Stands up, pushes his chair back because he's very intense. Cuts to Pete Dunne in the back, says he's going to prove he's the baddest man in NXT. Line them up and he will put them down. Kyle O'Reilly's was real boring. He said he's one win away from achieving a goal 16 years in the making. Blah, 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 blah. LA Knight, he says Joe's out with an injury, but it's to his manhood because he couldn't face LA Knight. Now three men are stuck in that same spot. Whose game is it? So on and so forth. Now, it stays on LA Knight. He's going to walk away, and then there's a dude in the back. He says, what can I help you with? The guy's very excited. He's wearing a very colorful singlet. He says, hello, my name is Bron Breakker. And he wants a chance to prove himself. This is the Steiner's kid. I forget if it's Rick or Scott's kid. He sounds exactly like Scott if Scott was less crazy. But he sounds exactly like Scott, which threw me way off. And LA Knight says, go ahead and get in the ring and I'll teach you a lesson. And so Bron Breakker versus LA Knight will be tonight. Okay. So interesting that we're doing a match before a championship match. But all right, sure, that's fine. NXT has a real cool theme now. I don't know what that song is, but it was real cool. It's at this point I wrote, oh, the ring is all white now. That's interesting. Fittingly, LA Knight's match with Bron Breakker is going to be first. Bron Breakker is a weird name, and I can't decide if I like it or not. It is hard to say, especially if you have to say it a few times in a row. Bron Breakker, Bron Breakker, Bron Breakker. It's one of those things. The problem is it's one of those names that even if you say it right, it sounds like you're not saying it right. So that's going to be something I'm going to have to get used to. Not sure why you wouldn't call him a Steiner, but they didn't. So LA Knight makes his entrance. Bron Breakker, jeez, makes his entrance. LA Knight agreeing to a match before his Fatal 4-Way match for the title is a weird character choice. Even, like, this would be more of a Kyle O'Reilly move, I would think. Like a babyface who's willing to fight anybody at any time kind of thing. LA Knight's a cowardly heel bad guy. It's weird to me that LA Knight would accept this challenge like on a regular night, but especially when he has a Fatal 4-Way match for the NXT title later in the night, I'm not super sure why he would agree to fight this guy who sounds just like Scott Steiner and dresses like a Steiner and is jacked like a Steiner. but he does. So now I'm looking at the ring and the crowd. It looks very different. I don't know how I feel yet, but it's definitely different. I think that it's fine. I think that it's not bad and it's not great. I think it is different, and credit where it is due. It does look different. I don't know how much of an effect that's going to have on anything. I don't think the problem with NXT was the presentation. I think the problem with NXT was the main roster. But I'm always down for a show looking different. This looks completely different than the old Capitol Wrestling Center presentation that they had up until last week. The ring is all white now. Hurts my eyes a little bit. The crowd is now shot differently. It looks like there's more people now. There's no more video screens. It's all real fans in kind of cascading seating. It looks like an indie show, which is kind of a cool vibe. Like, old NXT looked kind of like a prize fight, where, like, the lights would dim, you would barely see the crowd, there'd be a spotlight in the ring. Now, it looks like a well-produced indie show, which is cool. So, I guess, altogether, I really don't mind it. For the news of Vince and Bruce taking more of a lead with this show, I think that part's going to be bad, and I think it's going to prove to not be good. But it sounds like when you're at work and, like, your boss has a harebrained idea of how to make things more efficient or better, or has an idea they want to try, but they want to try it because they won't actually have to do anything. They just tell you, hey, we're going to do this differently. And you're not sure why you're doing it differently, because it was working fine. But now, because you're having to do it differently, you kind of throw everything into it. That's kind of feels like what we're doing here with Triple H and Shawn Michaels. Like, yeah, we'll do the show differently. And it's not really that different, but it's definitely a completely new presentation for whatever this new NXT is going to be. So, they have a short match. Braun Breaker, that's really hard to do, does a press slam. He lifts LA Knight over his head, holds him there for a pretty good amount of time, and LA Knight's not a small man, that's impressive. So it's like a press power slam. He pins LA Knight 1-2-3 in the middle of the ring. So if there were any doubt, we're going to take a bunch of jacked, preferably white dudes, and we're going to put them in feature spots and have them learn. And you know what? Fair enough. I think that you were doing basically this with indie guys before in the old NXT, so the matches were better. But I'm always fine with seeing new stars coming out and figuring stuff out. The best way to figure it out is in front of crowds to see what reactions you get and learn how to manage those. And as much training as you can do at the Performance Center, and you can do a lot, you really don't know for sure until you're out there. So somebody like Braun Breaker, who's honestly is not ready yet, but has all the tools, yeah, let's put him on NXT. Let's put him in there with LA Knight, somebody we know can talk, we know can work, and can help get him over. If that's what NXT is going to be, then I'm fine with that. So clean pin on one of the men that's going to be in your NXT title match. So to recap, one of the participants in the Fatal 4-Way match gets beaten clean in the middle of the ring earlier in the show. Another one of the participants, spoiler alert, gets attacked a little bit later and taken out of the match. So it's a weird setup. So this NXT title match does not feel important. I think it's because of all those things I just mentioned. Also, it's a new NXT, and I don't know how much any of these guys in that Fatal 4-Way feature into Vince and Bruce's future plans, but also, it's not the main event, and also, the NXT title has gone through a lot of changes recently, and has kind of hurt it a little bit through not really any fault of WWE's. So, not the greatest night for the NXT title, but that's okay. Cameron Grimes, Odyssey Jones, and Johnny Gargano are in the back. Johnny has adopted some of the Dexter Lumis black gloves. He opens the door, and Austin Theory's back. Johnny said, I thought you ran away. He says, I did, but I wasn't going to miss Indy's wedding. And he said, oh, and I brought a priest, and Damian Priest is back. Austin Theory and Damian Priest got big pops from the crowd. That was fun. Theory goes for that high five that they used to do with Johnny. Johnny says he's not going to do that, but they do hug, which is lovely. Back from break, Casey Catanzaro and Caden Carter are out in the ring. And Gigi Dolan and JC Jane are the lackeys for Mandy Rose. So, before, couldn't remember their names and refused to go back and look at them. Now, caught them. Shout out to DJ on Twitter, who reminded me, and after he called it out, I couldn't exactly not know their names again. So, Gigi Dolan, JC Jane are their names. Listen, sometimes it takes me 3 to 4 weeks, but I got them, you know? So, they're the lackeys. They're having their match with Casey and Caden. Someone said that Gigi Dolan is Becky Lynch if you order her from Wish, and that was mean. But yeah, but it was mean. So somebody comes out with a leather jacket with a hood on and attacks one of them. That team gets disqualified. Even though you can absolutely tell exactly who it is, the announcers have to act like they don't know who it is, which is always a weird spot to be in. Takes the hood off. What do you know? It's Mandy Rose. But Mandy Rose is brunette now. So that's a development, I guess. Saray comes out. She takes out Dolan and Jane. Team Mandy bail out of the ring. We cut to break. When we come back, it's now a six-woman tag match, which, all right, that makes sense. It's kind of like what they do on Raw all the time, except instead of it being the main event, they just said, just do it now. Mandy Rose pins Caden Carter, and that team wins. And then the announcers say, Mandy's team picks up the win on NXT 2.0, at which point I wrote, oh, are we going to call it NXT 2.0 every single time? And hi, this is Future Zach. Having now watched the whole show, yes, we are absolutely going to call it NXT 2.0, because I didn't know if you could tell from it looking completely different, having completely different new wrestlers on it, and having a different color scheme, logo, and theme song. But in case you didn't catch any of that, we're going to call it NXT 2.0, so you know that it's different this time. So that's an interesting strategy. I figure at some point they'll get sick of saying the 2.0 and they'll just stop. Cut to Indy getting ready backstage. She's in her dress. Regal interview with Mackenzie Mitchell. He says, Ridge Holland and Pete Dunne attacked Kyle O'Reilly earlier. Kyle is no longer medically cleared. He said, but he's going to be replaced by the man who saved Kyle, Von Wagner. Huh? All right, couple things. All right, few things. I get it. We're doing, like, the sole purpose of NXT now is not so much to be, like, a show that makes sense wrestling-wise or even necessarily put on the best matches. It's to get new people over. But I would argue the way to do that is not to take Kyle O'Reilly out of the match and replace him with somebody who nobody has heard of. That's not an insult to Von Wagner. Von Wagner's new. I don't know that NXT title fatal four-way match is the first place to do it. I didn't see a lot of, oh man, this Von Wagner guy is big, or let's see what he can do. I saw a lot of, they're going to have Von Wagner win the title, aren't they? From Twitter. So I don't know if that's indicative of the overall feedback to him, but this is weird. Also, if Ridge Holland and Pete Dunne are the ones that took Kyle O'Reilly out of the match, why is Pete Dunne staying in the match? Also, if Kyle O'Reilly has to be out of the match, why isn't it just Pete Dunne and LA Knight? And then just like take Kyle O'Reilly out of it and then just have it be like a singles match or in Ciampa with a triple threat match. Why do you need a fourth guy? I guess is my question. I mean, again, fine, put new guys in sink or swim moments, but NXT title fatal four-way seems weird. I don't know why Kyle was taken out of the match. I don't know if he actually has an injury or if something happened. I don't know. But I know that between Kyle O'Reilly getting taken out, LA Knight losing, this has become a less interesting title match, and I don't really understand why you did that. cut to a video vignette. There's a dude talking about growing up on the streets of Chicago. He's a Greco-Roman, All-American in amateur wrestling. But here's the thing. There's no real money in amateur wrestling. He said, but you know where there is money? NXT. And it says Tony D'Angelo is coming soon. And if I know anything about WWE, is that they're going to handle this Tony D'Angelo character with nothing but grace and class, and he's going to represent probably like Italian Americans with nothing but the utmost respect and care, because this is what they do. So this character's not going to be a stereotype. He's not going to be a mobster ripoff, even though that's what this was. He's not going to have an offensive accent. He's not going to start as a comedy character, or like a serious character, then turn into a comedy character. As we all know, an amateur wrestling background gets you a lot of places. Ask Dolph Ziggler, ask anybody basically but Kurt Angle. I'm sure this character, when he does debut, is going to be nothing but beautiful. It's going to be great. So we cut from that. The Creed Brothers are in the ring against an enhancement team. Creed Brothers win, and I know I should care about Diamond Mine, but I can't make myself, and also you can't make me. I figured out my problem. The Creed Brothers are kind of generic-looking white dudes with just, like, black singlets. And then that's, like, Roderick Strong is just a generic dude with a shaved head, and, like, there's nothing that makes this stable stand out, and their primary feud right now is for the Cruiserweight title, which is nothing. So, like, I don't really understand the point of this group, or if, like, there was a good version of this group, but this is just, like, boring, I think is my issue. Malcolm Bivens says the Creed Brothers proved they will destroy any human being with two legs. He said, you may walk in this ring, but you'll be carried out. Introduces the newest member, I think it was Ivy Nile. My autocorrect has ruined it, so I don't remember. She's, like, kind of a smaller Rhea Ripley. A little bit. She has a diamond shaved into the side of her head because she's about it already. They said that she was on Titan Games from NBC, so that this makes a lot more sense now. They're shaking hands, but they're interrupted by Kushida's music, who I completely forgot was Cruiserweight champion, or that we had a Cruiserweight title. He says, you talk and talk and talk and talk. You talk too much. Roddy, I'm ready. So Bivens says, well, next week, let's have Kushida versus Roderick Strong for the Cruiserweight title. They call it a big money fight. It's not a big money fight. It's the Cruiserweight title. Kushida is fantastic in the ring. Roderick Strong, fantastic in the ring. Don't you lie to me and tell me it's a big money fight. Stop it. Cut to the back. Dexter Lumis in a golden black suit, trimming, or rather, taking care of his mustache in a mirror. He's getting ready for the wedding. It's at this point I wrote, wait. The NXT title is not the main event. They called the NXT title match the main event, but the wedding is going on last. So here we go, man. Pete Dunne's out for this not at all main event. So at this point, it kind of seems like Pete Dunne should win. I thought LA Knight would win. I know who did win because I'm in the future. Back from break, LA Knight's finishing his entrance. So at this point, I wrote, is this Vaughn dude going to get introduced last? Nope, introduced third. It's at this point I noted that Vaughn looks like Val Venus, Big Cass, and the Great Khali got together to have a kid. And that's not like a judgment on his looks or anything. Those are just the three people who got together to have him. Boy, oh boy, his theme song's boring, huh? Ciampa's out last. So for the NXT title, we went from Karrion Kross the first time, then he gets hurt, title goes to Finn Balor. Finn Balor has a fantastic run with the title, which really helped a lot. Then it goes back to Karrion Kross, who was fine for a while, and then they had Johnny and Adam Cole completely bury his wrestling to set up their matches. Adam Cole said they do all this stuff to make you feel special, to make me feel special. They ring the freaking bell, and then Adam Cole bounced over to AEW, so that's fun. So Karrion Kross has it again. Then he's murdered by Vince McMahon on his television show. So they have no choice but to put it back on Samoa Joe. Great, love that. But then after 2 minutes, Samoa Joe is injured again. Now the title's changing again. That's boy, it's hard to take that title as seriously as I want to when it feels a little bit snake bitten and it doesn't seem like they care a whole lot about it. Like, I get it. The Wedding is a beautiful piece of television that we're going to talk about in a minute. And it in retrospect, it should have made the main event. But not putting your NXT title match on the main event and devaluing it with having one participant knocked out of it and a nobody in terms of TV time taking the spot and another one of the participants losing clean in the middle of the ring to open the show really made me a lot less excited for this match. I don't know about you. Feels like we could have had Johnny in this match since he was just doing the wedding late. I don't know, man. Just seems like we had options. So, this is a really, really good match. I'm not sure why Vaughn's here. Vaughn has a forehead that, I do mean this literally, it's concave. You don't see that every day. It dips. And I don't know why. It looks like he got smashed in the forehead, and it's concerning. And if I had to notice it, you were going to notice it. At some point during this match, LA Knight gets busted way open. That was really helpful. Blood always adds to a match. So now you're not allowed to blade in WWE anymore, but it does happen hard way on occasion, and I'm sure that there's some times when there's an intentional hard way to get that going. Makes sense. So I, at a couple points here, thought Vaughn was going to win the title, and that wouldn't have been good. Ciampa hits his finisher on LA Knight and is now a two-time NXT champion. He looks very happy to have Goldie back. It's a good call. With the original participants, or rather not the original participants, but now with Ciampa, Pete Dunne, Vaughn, Wagner, and LA Knight, I thought it would be LA Knight, but I think Ciampa might be the right choice. I think Pete Dunne actually would have been the right choice, but Ciampa is a very good choice as well. Ciampa never got that title back. He was fantastic the last time he had it. I think this is going to be great. He can work with a bunch of the young dudes. I love it. So now it's time for your main event. It's the Wedding. Dexter's middle name is Gaylord, because that's very funny. They're going to say that a few times. Johnny is the one giving away Indy. Ask Indy if she's sure. Candace grabs Johnny, makes him sit down. Austin Theory is supposed to have the rings. He, in fact, does not. Ikemanjiro stands up. He opens his jacket. He has the rings. Fans love Ikemanjiro, man. Austin keeps saying, "That's my guy." Johnny says, "How do you know him?" Austin said, "That's my guy." Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae are so great. They are some of the funniest parts of this entire very funny thing. Priest does the minister, whatever, does the, "If anyone objects to this marriage thing," everyone raises their hands. They're doing this in the wrestling ring, by the way. It's all set up. Everyone raises their hands. Dexter opens his jacket and slowly turns to face everyone. He has the throwing axe from a couple weeks ago in his jacket. Everyone puts their hands down. Indy's asked to share her vows. She shares her vows. They're very funny. Dexter is asked to share his. There's a pause, and everyone in the audience thinks he's going to talk because the crowd shushes itself. You hear them cheering, and then everybody goes shush, and they all get quiet. Dexter just does a thumbs up. Officiant has a little bit of an issue with that. Goes to talk to Dexter, who chokes the officiant out. Beth on commentary. Beth Phoenix says she was afraid something like this would happen. People are chanting for Damian Priest. That would have made sense, yes. Johnny turns around. He wants William Regal to do it. Says, "You're the general manager. You can do it." Regal's all good on that. Regal's facial expressions are fantastic. The zombie ref is next to Regal outside the ring there. William Regal, underrated, hilarious dude. Beth Phoenix gets up there. She says she was afraid something like this would happen. So last night she got ordained as a minister. Beth Phoenix is really fantastic. And I forgot how funny she was until this story started, and she's been, like, the funniest part of it. So Beth says, "Let's cut to the chase," at which point Andre Chase gets up and says, "Did someone say Andre Chase?" And then he starts talking, but Odyssey Jones grabs him around the neck and sits him down. That was a nothing joke, but saying let's cut to the chase. Did somebody say Andre Chase is great? Love it. Fans are chanting for Odyssey Jones. That's absolutely right. Fantastic. So she says, Indy, do you take Dexter with that whole speed, sickness and health, so on? Indy says, I do. Beth asks Dexter if he takes Indy. And there's a pause, and Beth says, okay, I thought that might happen. She's about to move on, and Dexter puts his hand over Beth's microphone, leans in, and he says, the crowd shushes itself again, and Dexter says, I do. So Dexter finally spoke. I love that he hasn't said one thing before this, and those are his first words. They exchange the rings. Beth says, by the power invested in me and free ordainedminister.com, I now pronounce you man and wife. Everyone's so excited. Damian Priest picks up Indy, and it goes from that shot, and it backs up and backs out of the TV that Ciampa is watching with Goldie. Bron Breakker, still hard to say, walks up, says, congratulations, Ciampa. Ciampa says, thank you, Bron Breakker. It's weird that he says the whole name. He congratulates Bron on his win, and he also calls it NXT 2.0. They're about to shake hands. And Ciampa notices that Bron is staring at that NXT title. So they shake hands, and it starts as smiling, and slowly but surely they're breathing a little bit harder, and they stop smiling, and now they're just staring at each other. And yeah, I'd absolutely like to see Ciampa and Bron for that NXT title. Sure, why not? I think that'd be fun. Listen, I've not been a fan of the Indy and Dexter storyline. I think it's creepy and doesn't send a great message. Not that wrestling should be responsible for that, but also maybe don't do stuff like that. I stand by that initial feeling. This, if you had read this to me on a piece of paper, I would have told you this would have been awful. This is one of the things I love about wrestling, and I will give it credit where it's due. This was delightful from beginning to end. I don't know how long it actually was. It felt like it went by so fast, and I wanted to see more. Everything they did just about was legitimately really funny, which is hard for wrestling to nail sometimes, but everybody here was on their game. Johnny and Candace are absolutely the MVPs with Beth Phoenix for this whole thing. This was really funny. It was really sweet. It was really fun. This is the first wrestling wedding I ever remember where there was no interference or anything. They just trusted their performers to go out there and create magic, and man, they did. I'm really happy with this wedding, and I'm glad it was the main event. I don't know what to tell you. So maybe the sky isn't falling in NXT. Maybe we're just going to have to make some adjustments. Maybe they're going to mix some of the old with the new. That's why Tommaso Ciampa's NXT champion works so well. We can come around to Bron Breakker eventually with him. He's got Carmelo Hayes that he could face at some point. There's a lot of interesting stuff going on in NXT, and maybe it's not going to be a better show. It's probably not going to be as good because the goals are different. But man, that wedding was some of the most fun I've had watching wrestling, and I'm not sorry about that at all. But folks, that's about it. One more time, you can find me on Twitter at ZachNXT, at ZachNXT. Also, go subscribe to Random Wrestling. Going to be a really fun guest on for this next episode that I imagine is going to have some jokes to tell at my expense, because that's what she does, if that gives you any hint as to who it could be. For now, that's it for NXT 2.0. So that's it for me. I have been Zachary Smith. You have been fantastic as always, and thank you for listening.